Hey, Elsie.
Hi, hello both.
Hi,
Thank you
Elsie.
for having me.
Where are you?
Elsie, I'm currently in Italy.
In
Italy.
what? Italy.
Italy.
Nice.
Yes.
All
I'm
right,
enjoying
very
an
nice.
Italian summer.
All right, yeah, it's hot there now.
I have a very quick question for you both. Chris, of course, I read your book, and you emphasize how empathy plays a very big role when we are discussing with someone. So, how do we recenter ourselves after we lose the capacity to really empathize with the other person? And this is a question for you both.
Let's put it in a context, Elsie. So let's give me an example. So where have you seen this or felt this in your own life? I mean, not to get personal. I'm just, I don't
No
want to hit names or anything.
worries. So, for example, if I'm discussing something with, say, a family member, they state their opinion, they say, hey, I'm coming from this point of view, this angle, et cetera, and I try to understand where they're coming from, but I struggle to do so. How would I then try and recalibrate my answers once I lose touch with the other person's point of view?
And this is, let's assume you're talking with this person. Do you feel like you disagree with what they're saying, or you're just not sure what they're saying?
Oh, it could be both.
Let's
So,
assume, let's make it juicy. Let's assume you don't like what they're saying. You hear what they're saying, but you're like, that's not really for me. There's some quick little things I think that will help you. Number one is just a matter of timing. And that is to ask the question, well, think of the question now. Do we have to agree on this? Is this something we have to agree on? Asking that question highlights the fact that one, they might be pushing you to agree when they may not mean to. They might be pressing their opinion without thinking about it. Because some people are just strong personalities, right, Elsie? Some people just they love to state their opinion. They don't really care what you believe, but they just want to be super strong with it. When you ask the question, is this something we have to agree on? They typically will say no. Or if you say, is this something we have to agree on right now? You add that timing element. And because you could say yes to the other and no to the next one. That is something that adds an element of, listen, you're pressing me to do something that I don't want to do, and I'm not ready to go there with you. So that question of, is this something we have to agree on right now? Well, we'll typically back them off in a very quick way. And if you find yourself where they're pressing your opinion and you still just want to stand your ground in a respectful way, using the phrase, I see things differently. Elsie, it's a phrase that you'll find a time and time again can be applied in a lot of different contexts. I see things differently. They feel like you heard what they said. You see what they're saying because you use that word. I see things differently. But you're just saying politely, you're looking at it from a different point of view. So those are ways I think that will help recenter you, make you feel a little bit more grounded the next time that someone is pressing their opinion against you in a way that you don't like.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
I love it, Elsie. Thank you very much. That was a great question.
Cheers.
Later, Elsie.
Right, we got Michael coming up.
Hi. Can you guys hear me? I'm not sure if
We
you can
can
see
hear
me
you.
either.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not sure about the video, but hi. So, yeah, Michael Dundas. So this is an interesting thing real quick. So I started reading Chris, your book. I didn't know anything about you. I found it on a review or whatever, and then it was where I've been following Jefferson for some time now. And so when I saw the two of you guys on this podcast, like, okay, I'm joining this. So thank you for both joining. My question, and it's more of an experience thing, and it might be for Jefferson, but I've been like following a lot of your techniques, and I actually had the opportunity where I've had some people have told me, like, I get, you know, if I get emotional, because I will get emotional and I can feel my voice raising and all those things that, you know, you've mentioned. And so it's like, okay, so speak when, you know, when somebody upsets you, speak slowly. So I speak really slowly and speak, you know, watch your tone. And I've done that and it's been very helpful. But I have one experience where I did that and they were still upset. And what I mean by they were still upset, it was like, I don't like your tone. And I'm like, I'm watching my tone and I know my tone is proper and I'm being very slowly. I actually think they just didn't like my message. Have you had that happen where it's like, they're saying it's your tone and you're like, but they don't want to say they don't like your message, but they actually don't like the message that you're sending. I'm just curious. Cause I'm trying to make sure that I want to get my message across, but I don't want to upset them unnecessarily. But at the same time, I'm thinking about this situation and I'm like, my instinct's telling me that you're doing a good job now. They actually don't like your message. Have you experienced that? Just curious.
Yeah, Michael, I appreciate that question, man. Where are you from?
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that. I'm Toronto, Canada.
Oh, forgot awesome, all about that. Sorry. Yeah, I can tell by the sorries that you're throwing in there.
Yes. That's something else I'm working on, I've been told. But anyway.
Yeah, and that's awesome, Michael. A great question. The answer is yes. Everybody has experienced that. One thing I want you to keep in mind about difficult conversations is really what makes it difficult is we try to control the other person when the key is you really just need to control yourself. So when you are feeling like you're overwhelmed and you're changing your tone and you know that what you're doing is right and it feels right to you, you can't control the other person. You can only control yourself, period. And so if they still don't like certain things, there's an aspect of that, Michael, where you have to say, look, I can only tell it to you. I can't understand it for you. That's something my dad would tell me all the time. All right. And what that means is you can tell them certain things about how you're feeling. And if they don't understand it right away, sometimes they just don't choose to on purpose. They don't want to understand. And that just happens, Michael. That doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. That doesn't mean there's some kind of magic pill that's going to make them understand. Because if there was, trust me, we'd all be selling it and taking it. So I just encourage you that when you're in that moment where you know you're doing the right thing and they're still not understanding, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to say, I need some time to myself. I need a moment just to collect my thoughts. Or can I take a time out for a little bit? And nobody's ever said, no, you can't take a time out or no, you can't have time for yourself. It's okay to have that. In those kind of moments, often time and silence is the biggest factor. Just even if you have another conversation the next day, just that sleep that you get or that time away can make a big impact on you in a real way. Chris, what do you think on that?
I love that. Taking time. The original premise of what you're talking about is that you're not going to always be successful. And I've said earlier on another question, the vast majority of people want to collaborate. The vast majority of people is in their hearts are in the right place. That doesn't mean they all are. You know, the vast majority means there's a percentage out there that are always going to be a problem. And someone who's trying to manipulate you, you know, in the Black Swan group, we call them the 7%ers. Why do we call them 7%ers? Because hostage negotiators are effective. We got a 93% success rate. That means that 7% of the time it's going bad no matter what we do. They're not going to make the deal. Their heart is in the wrong place. They're looking to manipulate us. A tactic when someone can't disagree with the validity of what you said, then they'll shift and they'll shoot the messenger. They'll attack the way that you said it as opposed to what you said. It's a shift. It's a tool of manipulation. And I agree completely with Jefferson that asking for a timeout is a legitimate request. I'm on in a conversation on Clubhouse a few years ago with Barbara Corcoran, and she says, here's a phrase that I've never regretted saying. Give me some time to think about it. And I thought, wow, Barbara Corcoran says she never regretted saying that. It's got to be powerful. So to underscore what Jefferson just said, you know, asking for time out is a legitimate move also to gather yourself together and to even decide if you want to get back into the conversation at all. Because 93% success rate means 7% of the time, Person on the other side is not going to collaborate, not going to make the deal, not going to look to work with you. And there's nothing wrong with walking away. You know, walk away, polite walk away, I'm 1,000% believer in. I don't believe in angry walkaways. I don't believe in slamming your hands on a table and storming out, which is often acting. But yeah, be prepared to politely walk away. Give yourself some space and time, and don't blame yourself if you got a bad actor on the other side.
That's awesome. Yeah. And mediation, like in the legal world, time, like what you just talked about, using time that way is often a very strategic tool.
I'll bet. Yeah. Give people a chance to think. Take them out of their anger, right? People want to make bad decisions when they're angry.